We only get a few minutes every Tuesday to talk to digital and social media strategist Scott Kleinberg. So this week, we're going to talk about some of the more common questions Scott gets when we're not on the air. Morning, Scott. You always say you answer all questions. Ready?
Sure am. Good morning, Bob. You know, back in the early days of social media, I remember there were like hundreds of questions a week, and it's not that intense anymore, but I always do my best to write back whenever someone has a question.
Yes, you do. So what's an example of a common question?
All right, here's one. So could I be missing mentions of my business on social media, and how do I know I'm seeing everything?
That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it is, but it isn't. So you have lots of options. You can turn on notifications on your phone from the apps you use. Okay, that's fine, but there's two issues with that. One, if you get a lot of notifications from other apps, you know, weather, news, sports scores, coupons, you know, the list, it gets bigger every day, it's easy to miss a notification. And just because you use Twitter and Instagram doesn't mean that someone doesn't mention you on Facebook. So, you know, you could always make it a point to manually check, but the problem there is timeliness. You don't want to wait 2 or 3 days to respond because then it's too late.
But is it safe to say that if you're a business where you know you stand to get a lot of social media mentions, that you'd have a plan for this already?
It's smart to say that, Bob, but I wouldn't say it's safe to say, because that's an offshoot of the previous question. I've been asked if I need that level of social media management. Do I need to take that extra step? And the answer is, it just depends. If you get a mention here or there occasionally, then no, you don't need that. But if you're the kind of person who gets more than the occasional few and thinks that you can juggle multiple tasks, then you might need that help. Because, you know, there's a difference between juggling 3 tennis balls and 3 bowling balls. So it's going to come down to your comfort level. But going back to the earlier point, it's not good enough to say you can handle it and then take a week to respond. Because in this day and age, social media users, they want really quick feedback. And it's been that way for a while. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. But one last thing about this question, even though it doesn't truly fall under the social media umbrella, businesses also should be aware of what's being said about them in Google reviews and in Yelp reviews. And then where applicable, you want to respond accordingly to both positive and negative feedback.
So what you're talking about here really applies to business people, business owners, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, yeah, because a business owner wants to make sure that the things that are being said about them in the internet in general, you know, just don't get lost in the shuffle. And that's just easy for it to happen.
Yeah, I know myself, when I'm looking at Yelp or Google reviews for, say, restaurants, and I see that the restaurant owner or manager has answered and engaged with those comments, that is really a good thing for those business people to do, isn't it?
That's an amazing thing to do, and you brought up a really good point by mentioning that, because there is a setting that you can set that actually says allow business owners to contact me or not. You can actually make it so a business owner does not have the ability to contact you. You never want to select that, because you always want to make sure that you accept feedback and you address it wherever you can.
Scott Kleinberg answering some very commonly asked questions. Let's get back to that with some other examples. Scott?
Yeah, sure. So I get a lot of questions, Bob, about passwords and password managers. They're all usually of the same type, pretty much. Do I need a password manager? How often should I change my password? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, and this had come up when we talked last, and it always comes up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. And it's important, you know, to simplify the response that I tell people, it's, you know, first focus on a secure password. That matters the most. And that means 15 characters or more. You want a mixture of numbers and letters. That's uppercase and lowercase. You want some symbols in there. Some websites may have limitations in terms of size of passwords and whether or not you can use symbols. So you'll have to adjust accordingly. But here's a really great tip for you. Go to Google and search random password generator. There's no shortage of these random password generators, and they just basically create passwords. And that way it makes it really easy for you to create a strong password.
That's a good tip, random password generator. But then you have to remember it, and we always talk about that, and that's where the question of a password manager comes in.
Yeah, that's right. But nowadays, your phone has a built-in password manager, and this kind of goes overlooked a lot. Your iPhone will save passwords, and you can enter your own. Google Chrome saves passwords. So, you know, for many people, this is much easier, and it's safe. Password managers have a lot of advanced features. So if security is top of mind, then you should definitely look into the different kinds that are out there and see what works best for you. But it's the strength of the password that's the most important thing. So that plus two-factor authentication, that's usually a code that you get texted to you when you log into something. That's another level of protection on top of the password you already have. But if you remember two things from today's chat, I would say remember these. One, passwords should never be easy to remember. Don't use your kids' names. Don't use your pets' names. Don't use the city you're born in. All those things are the reasons why those social media quizzes that we like just get involved in, why those even exist. The people who create those know that people use common things to remember their passwords, and that's why they're unsafe. And the second one is don't reuse passwords. Your bank account and Netflix should never be the same password. I say that so often because think about it like this, okay? Even if you're sharing your Netflix password and you're okay with that, I'm going to guess you're not okay sharing your banking account password, and that is exactly what you might be doing.
Those quizzes you mentioned, you'll see those pop up on Facebook usually. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, you'll see them pop up on Facebook, and they all look like they're fun, and they, you know, it's like, what's your favorite musical lyric? Okay, what's your favorite, you know, concert that you've been to? Okay, maybe that is a password question, maybe it's not, but then there's the other questions. What's the name of the street that you grew up on? What's the name of your dog? What's the name of this? Those are the questions that you would use as a security question for a password, so they're trying to get you to become comfortable talking about that stuff, and you don't want to do that.
That's amazing. And what about changing passwords? You hear different things. How often should you do that?
Well, that's a really good question, too. Recommendations for that, they're all over the place. I like to tell people that a secure password, a really secure password, gives you more time between changes. Personally, I think every 90 days is a good number. If you use one of those random password generators we just talked about and you ensure you're properly keeping track of changes, every 90 days, it shouldn't take you more than a minute or two to do it. So, you know, set a reminder on the calendar of your choice. It's easy to forget things like this, but if you make it a point to remember, you won't forget.
Okay. If someone wants to ask you a question off the air, what's the best way for them to reach you, Scott?
Well, I check my Twitter direct messages for questions. They're always open, so you can use that. I'm not as active on Twitter these days for posting. I do a lot more listening than I used to, but I will always do my best to get back to you in a timely manner.
And that brings us to the Genius Bar question today. Here it is. Scott, I see email on my iPhone, and then maybe I switch over to my laptop, and then I look for that email I saw on my iPhone, and it's not there. What happened? What's going on here?
Your email is probably in some kind of limbo in the middle of cyberspace. And by that, I mean your email, it lives on a server, and then it downloads to the different devices that exist. So sometimes those checks of the servers, they're not exactly in unison. So what you have is you see one thing on your phone, and you see something different on your laptop. And you have to really be patient and wait for it to happen. But usually it takes a minute or two. And then they should, you know, become in unison eventually. One of the things that you can do to speed the process along is if you're on your laptop, you know, that button that says send and receive, that's a manual check of the server. So you can hit the button that says send and receive and see if that forces the download. Or if you're on your iPhone, you can just quit your email program and relaunch your email program. The minute you launch the program, it automatically checks the server. So anything that's still hanging out there and hasn't made its way to all the devices should eventually make its way. I see that happen all the time. And it always happens when you need to respond to something right away. You're like, where is it? And it's not there.
Yeah, of course. Scott Kleinberg. He's a genius. Talk to you next Tuesday morning. Appreciate it, Scott. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.